Okay, today's daf is daf dalet, and where we ended the shiur last time was with the two sources of Chanina and Bar Padaya regarding how we know that we're, in the case of Nezek of Shur, he doesn't the all he pays is a reduction in value from the value of a live ox that he killed to the value of the carcass, if you like. So, and there were two different sources. Rav Chanina bought Makaya Behmeishalmena, Rav Padaya bought the Imtarof Yitaref Al Ed, but Ad Makom we said, or Ad Hatrefa. Loishalem. So now Amram Nasa says, Tsurchalahad Rav Chanina, but Tsurchalahad Bar Padaya. We actually need both. Ilo Tamil Chanina had only learned Rav Chanina's. Now, the reason for that is to appreciate the context of the psukim. The first pasuk that Rav Chanina brought was regarding a human inflicting damage to someone else's property, their ox. And the second case is regarding a ox, a person's ox, their mammon causing damage to somebody else's. So you need both. Why? Because had we just said ilui only Rav Chanina, which is why again a human caused damage, maybe lehechshin if my ox causes damage, I have to do anything. Because I would think, oh, well, the Torah says you have to, you don't have to pay this the differential. The difference is when you cause a damage. But there's no pasuk talking about my mammon causing damage. That's the way we calculate it. So maybe you don't have to pay anything at all. That's why we need the Bar Padaya's pasuk as well to teach. Even for mammon, there's also one pays only the difference in the value or the reduction in value. Or ilui damrit de Bar Padaya. How do we only learn that by Padaya that this reduction in value is by one's mammon that causes damage? For hechshin yizkor. Loi damrit de Rav Chanina. Hayti omer maybe lehechshin yizkor yishalem pachata. Maybe for your mammon that causes damage, that's when you pay the reduced amount. However, leniske guf, if you yourself go and pay, maybe shmul machmir. Maybe shlemet hakol, maybe you pay the full amount. So be tzorech, that's why shumar de Rav Chanina, but tzorech de Bar Padaya, that's why we actually need, it's not two sources that argue with one another, it's two sources that we need both of them together. That's what the Mishnah was saying, or the Gemara is saying. Now, let's now move to the next piece. Rabbi, okay, we have to be careful here because the this piece that we're going to learn now, Mara Fulda, which we've kind of been sort of leaning on to be the Perush that we follow, is he says there's like three different ways to understand this piece. So it gets a little bit confusing. If you're trying to, like, give us a change this way, give us a change that way, or no, give us a change at all, what would it possibly mean? But that's in the Mara Fulda that I have printed in front of me. In the Haggadot Tzionim, in the first Rishon of Mara Fulda, explains it very similarly to the Pnei Moshe. Just one pshat, one gives a change, and so I think we're just going to go with that to make it to simplify the shiur. Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says B'shem Shmuel, that Rabbi Yehuda's name is Shmuel, that what? Again, Rav Fulda says that the Chachamim would say, Ein Shamin, you don't do this reduction in value difference. Lo Legana v'lo Legazan v'lo LaShoel, Ela LeNezikin. In other words, when do we look at like we said in Nezikin, you only have the difference in loss and the difference in value between the straw that was alive and the straw that's now dead. That difference is only Nezikin. However, if someone stole something and the animal died in his possession, you don't return the carcass and then say, I'll pay you the difference. No, you have to pay the full amount back. Okay, that's what we're saying. So that's for Ganav, Gazlan, Shoel, importantly, we'll discuss a Shoel soon, someone who borrowed something. That gets one of the four Shomrim, but why Shoel specifically, we'll discuss that too, in a moment. But in other words, none of those are reductions value. The full animal has to be replaced. Okay, and you can the borrower can deal with a carcass. Now, just show you that in the Mara Fulda, he brings some sources for this. He says, "Atam de gana v'gazlan, because a shared gazal ka'ein gzela," meaning you got to return that which you stole. I think Mara's going to bring sources later on as well. Fine. However, ani omer, now this is Shmuel saying that even l'shoel, even for a shoel, one has to what's called shamin, meaning even for a shoel, we would also Shamin, meaning we'd also do this, reduction in value difference. It says, Abba modeli, and Abba agrees with me. Now the question is, who is Abba? Manhu Abba, who's Abba agreeing with Shmuel? So Rebbe, is it, or it's not Rebbe, is it Rav? That's a gives a change here. Is it Rav, or is it, now Isha, I'm so sorry, I went a bit fast here. I knew Omer, I took out the word L'shoel Shamin. I took out the Af and the Ein. I'm not sure if you noticed that. That's a gives a change. Uman hu Abba, who is this Abba? Is it Rav or is it Abba Baravuha? Is it Rav who he affectionately we would call Abba, and in other words, his counterpart? It's like a term of Chashivot Abba. Or would it be Abba Baravur, which is the father of Shmuel? Who is it referring to that Abba agrees with me? So, Amar Rav Chista Nasa Ikar Tfela. Nasa Ikar Tfela is an interesting piece here. So, I'll show you the Pnei Moshe first, and then I'll show you the Marafulda that's mentioned in this in the Hagotzonim for the Tfus Rishon. So, he says that how can that be? Bitmia, Kolomar Rav Chista Ali Shistapek Im Rav. How can you have a question who Abba's referring to, Rav or Aviv? Pshita, it must be when he says Abba is referring to Rav Mitkaven. He's my colleague, if you like. De'i al Abba Aviv, if it was referring to his father, v'chishayach lomar me'ikar tefela, that my father agrees with me, lomar Abba modeli. No, that's not derech kavod. It's much more kavodic to say I agree with it, like my father's position, not my father agrees with me. That's putting you at the center. So it can't be with saying Abba agrees with me, meaning for his own father. It must be talking about Rav. That's where the, if you like, the Pnei Moshe explains this piece, but I'll read for you in the again. I have this in Hagotah Tzunim, which is the first edition of the Parafolder. He has a different pshat of Nasa Ikar Tfeila. He says, "Shoel is the Ikar, she'ein shamim lo." The whole case of a Shoel is, if you like, the Ikar. Ein shamim lo. Why? Sharei chay ve'onasin. Why would we single out Shoel from all the other four Shomrim? Because a shoel, someone who borrows an item, is chayiv in all situations, in the case of ones. So therefore, it's as if he owns it. Okay. Nimtze shekana tekech, if it's as if he owns it during the period of his borrowing. Mishabad vashvarim, and anything breaks, if you like, during, if like it smashes or breaks, whatever, he's chayiv to pay the whole thing back. And everything breaks is really considered his, because it's considered as if he's owning it during the time of the borrowing, while he borrowed it. Va'ata marta, and you want to say af l'shoel, mean even for a shoel. Ki'ilu, as if he tfeila l'nezikin, as if it's like secondary to nezikin. Sheshamin, come on a nezikin. As if it's like secondary to, if you like, a nezikin. But that doesn't make sense. Because, again, ve'hi u'saka da da'bav l'chena ha'betmiya betmiya v'chini ka'da nasa tfeila. In other words, what he's saying is, what's the ikar and what's the tafel? What's the one, what's the prime example that you would obviously say shamin? The one you say obviously shamin should be the shoel. And the case of Nezikin, where as a result of stealing, we say, okay, now I consider this is, that should be that which we derive from Shoel and not the other way around. That's the way the Marafol just kind of explains that line. But as I said, there are again lots of different ways to explain the sugi. It says three different ways of Girsel. Okay. So now the Gemara says, well, Atar Rav Yehuda b'shem Shmuel says, we actually see explicitly Rav Shmuel saying that Shmuel ain't shamim lo l'ganav v'lo l'gazam v'lo l'shoel. Ella nezikin. So this is the way the Ben Moshe, this is called Ma'ikida Amri. Again, Marfil explains more a continuation to prove the point, but we say that Rav Sin and Shmuel, that we don't do this concept of estimating the value of the carcasses left over and getting to pay the difference. You don't do that for a Ganav, for a Gaznan, or for a Shoel, as we said quite clearly. The only time you do this is for Nezikin, in the case of damage, and also the other Shomrim. Because the other Shomrim, they're not considered like, we're not Chayva Onsin, like we've kind of explained. Okay? And therefore, it's not considered like theirs. It's considered really still the property of the owner. And when it dies, okay, you have to now pay the difference. Now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Shalach Sha'al Rebbe Lazar, Ha'anas, which is a kind of type of thief, but he's like forcibly takes something and he's going to pay back. I think the explanation. Haganav gazlan. Ganav is someone who steals at nighttime. A gazlan is someone who steals during the daytime, like stick him up type of person. Ma'u lashum lahem. Do you do also work out the difference? Even though we've just explained that according to, if you like, Shmuel, it says no, ain shamim lahem. So, but he asked a question, Rabbi, you would ask the Rebbe Elazar. Amar lei, ain shamim lo laganav lo gazlan. You don't do this shuma for ganav and gazlan. Why? Minayin she'ain shamim lahem. Amar Abba bar mamal, because it says, Chaim Shnayim Yishalem. Well, it's funny, the punctuation is, it says, in the case of a soul, Mishor ad Chamor ad Se Chaim, and while it's still alive, Shnayim Yishalem. Then you pay double. Mashma, Chaim, you pay back as it's alive, velo meitim. You don't pay back dead animals as part of it, so there's no differential. You have to pay that the full value. That's the case of a Ganav. What about a Gazlan? I could have Gneva Gazlan Minayim. Kasher Gazal. Interesting. The pasuk is actually saying v'shiva sher gazal. I mean, you got to return that which you stole. You're not meant to return a carcass. That which you stole, either the actual object. If you can't, you pay back the full amount. So that's how we learn you don't do this calculation and reduction value thing for Ganeva and Gezeila. Okay, yeah, fair. Let's now learn the next Mishnah. This is now Mishnah Bet. Kol shechavti b'shmirato echshavti et nizko. Anytime I am obligated to look after something and it caused damage, I is considered echshavti as if I enabled that damage. I caused the damage effectively. Okay. If I have, the Gemara will give an example of this in a moment. If I have contributed somewhat, if you like, to the enabling of damage, that small amount that sort of enabled this damage, even though it's a small contribution, now I'm chayiv with the whole nezek. We'll discuss this in the Gemara exactly what the case is. Now it says nechasim she'ein bahem me'ila. Nechasim bahem me'ila means that we're talking about sehekdesh. So when am I chayiv to pay in case of damage? Well, it's got to be that it's not considered hekdesh. Nechazim shel b'nei brit, talking about Israel. Nechazim muchadim means property that has an owner. I'll just show you the Pnei Moshe of this. I didn't really understand the Maharal fully on it, but it says nechazim muchadim sheyesh lehem ba'alim. You know, there's not talking about hefker. But well, what would you think you have to pay for hefker if your ox calls another ox's hefker? Who are you going to pay to? So the chiddush is, but the Moshe says aval im nagach shor shel hefker Hefker leshoro, if a shor hefker, sorry, gores his ox, the kadam the zacha ba'acher, and then somebody else is zocher that ox that caused the damage is patur. So here, the way Pnei Moshe understands is that it's the shor shel hefker doing the damage. Okay. Okay. Fine. Let me just set my ass up. One second. Fine, yeah, fair. Now I'll just read the Pnei Moshe, but I didn't really. Sorry, the Maharal full day. He says, "Shiyeshlem." In other words, "Lafuke hefker to imizakti nichsei hefker patur." This is where I got confused at first. Pnei Moshe is talking about the it's a shore of hefker doing the damage, and then someone. So I tried to zocher after it, because and then we say no, but he's saying no that my animal did damage to an animal of hefker. Vaynu dengach Torah, v'kodem shimun b'din before it was mama b'din. Hefkiro hanizak. The nizak was there was mafkira. Nonetheless, then a patuk is the patura mazik milashalem. So it's interesting, Casey. What he's saying is that the nizak was mafkir the animal before hamatadadin. So in other hamatadin as well, it has to have an owner. That's why the Maharal Forda explains it. So I think that's a bit more clear now in my head. Okay, fine. Beseder. Let's continue. Next is chutz mirshut ha-miyuchedet lemazik. If the mazik, the person who caused damage, the owner of the auto, it did damage and it was in his property and some other ox, say, walked into it, or lemazik, or it's a shared rishut, rishut lenizik lemazik. Again, we'll discuss this. Next, ukeshizik, once again, chava mazik leshalem letashlumi nezek v'met ha-ba'aretz. Okay, yeah, fair. Now the Gemara says, kol, that last line we've seen in the first mission. Now, kol shechavti shmiratot, tani rebchia, Zeh shor v'habor, meaning when it says kol shechavti mishmeratol echshavti et nizko, that mission is referring to the Brayta says we're talking about shor and bor, but not esh v'esh lo tana. Why? Now, cause, and I'll explain like Maharal Fulda here is Amar Avir mea esh lehechshon nizko. So just to explain this, now again the reading of this sugya is kind of different than Moshe. Ribaz is also small, a bit more similar than Maharal Fulda, but still a bit different. Everyone's reading different, but really the bottom line is going to be very much similar. So I'll read again, Parafulda. He says, Klomar, again, so we'll go with the whole piece. It's not referred to Reb Chiya doesn't hold that that's Esh is referred to that Mishnah. Why? Klomar, why? The content of Hechsher Nizkor, meaning I enable damage, only really applies to I dug a hole, and therefore I enable damage. I didn't do direct damage. Or I enabled some damage by not guarding my ox and letting it go out. So I enable the damage to be caused. Okay? I therefore enable the damage. Okay. Because in both those situations, I didn't actually do physical damage directly. I just enabled that damage. And I'm responsible for the damage I enabled. Okay, that's shor and bor. Yeah, fair. Masha'enkin, you don't see that by Esh. It's not considered Hechsher. Why? Because by Esh, he holds ki'ilu hezik hu begufo. It's like doing direct damage. Why? Because when I light a fire and it goes and spread, it's like me shooting an arrow. Now, when I shoot an arrow, it's equivalent to, I'm not, it, we don't say that it's like I enable the damage to be caused. Like I put a hazardous obstacle on the floor and someone's going to trip on it. You don't say I just put a hazardous arrow in the air and someone just happened to walk into this arrow. No. Then when I shoot an arrow, it's like me picking up a club and hitting someone over the head. It's considered much, much direct, like the damage of the person. So Esh, we'd say the debate between Esh is, why is Esh chay mishum mamona or mishum chetzo? So the understanding of Gemara is, when it comes to fire, it's like considered like a chetz. It's like an arrow. It's like I've done direct damage. Okay, directly, like a pick a club and hit someone on the head. What's interesting here, the Ribad says, actually this is part of the discussion here, is mishum mamona, is mishum chetzo, but the way the Marafulda explains it, no, the Gemara going across the shir, this mishum chetzo. So the Gemara is going to ask, if that's the assumption, what are the consequences of this? So let's continue. Amrevi in keni eshlech shonisko mekabela atraya badad zeloke. So the question is then, if you want to say it's like doing direct damage, okay, then if someone warns someone about don't light the fire because you can hit someone, now we know if someone punches somebody and they're warned don't hit them, they could be chai malchus. So if you say this is directly like hitting someone with lighting a fire, then if he's warned, can you give him malchus? Don't light the fire. There's a person over there that's going to get injured. Can you give him malchus? If you say if it's equivalent to really hitting him, that's the question of the Gemara. Is it really equivalent? So the Gemara says, Maichadun. Why are you Maichadun? Again, I'll read you the Marafulda here. He says, Da bemet lo matzinu shechayv malkut achabalat esh. We never see that being the case. We never see that you can give someone malchus for lighting a fire. If you pre-warn someone lights a fire and as they're hitting someone, we never see that the case. So therefore, heichem it came in devrei Rebbe Yirmiyah. So how then do we understand the shit of Rebbe Yirmiyah? That when he says it's equivalent to like, it's not considered hechshen isko, it's considered mamash like direct damage. It's not 100% like direct damage because you can't give him malchus. So what is it like? So the Gemara says, because ha'esh lehechshen is a kav, it says, mekabel alav nezek tsar ripui shevet uboshet. That, I'll just read the Marafulda inside. We've got time, we can do it. It says, however, normally, if someone trips into the boar, you have to pay for the damage you caused. Fine. However, now, if someone punches somebody, they're chayv on five elements of compensation. Physical injury. We've got the nezek, tsar, shevet, ripui, and boshet, which is a medical expense. So nezek is the actual reduction in value. Tsar is the pain he caused him. Nezek, tsar, shevet is the basically lost work you can do. Shevet, ripui, medical expenses, and boshet, the shame he caused. So we're saying the chiddush of esh that he's saying is mamash like him doing damage is in the case of esh, you'd be chai of those five elements, or we'll talk about four or five, we'll get to that in a minute, elements of compensation. Here at the moment we're saying that it's, even though the Gemara says five, Marafulda is saying four. I'll explain why in a minute. V'achi masi, that's what it says in the Bavli. Why? Because in the Bavli it says you only chai four because you're not chai for boshet, because you can only be chai for boshet if you intended, inu chai for boshet and mikaven levayshoi, if you intended to shame him through the process. Okay, and when you light a fire and it goes damage someone, it's two removed. The Efshab, that how then do Yerushalmi say you chayv for boshet as well? So he says, Veshal Lashas Zemayi Sheitru Bo Bahani Dvarim V'Hachi Mashmalei Lishna U'Makabel Alav Nezek Tzar V'Havaleki Mechabel Avayesh. When it's pre-warned, understanding this is what you're going to be doing, you realize this fire is going to hurt this individual, what do you think you're doing? And he goes, I'm doing it anyway. It's Ki'ilu Mitkabel Boshet. So this is a unique case with fire that you could be chayv for boshet. That's why he explains Yerushalmi. Normally it wouldn't be chayv for boshet, only four things. Okay, so in other words, define Esh is one of those very interesting types of damage that's sort of in between, we're seeing, like direct physical damage, is closer to direct physical damage, but still considered one's result. It's still Mishum Chetzo, but you're not Chayv Tei Malkus, you're Chayv for elements of compensation, like well, if one physically caused harm. Okay. That's why it's different to say Shor, Bor, and, Shor and Bor. Let's just say Shor to cover all the other ones. Yeah, fair. Now, like Gemara says, Yeshayim Yitzat Nizkor. So what does it mean if I enable part of the damage as if I've done the whole thing? So this, the way to understand this case, Gemara now is saying, is Zeabor. This is the case of a pit. Why? Detani, chafar bor tisha tefachim. Someone comes along and digs a hole that's 9 tefachim deep. Now, 9 tefachim deep is enough to cause damage, not to kill someone. That's a distinction. We'll learn that one much later when we learn about bor in more detail. Ubacher, and someone now dug an extra tefach. That extra tefach now makes it possible to that it's going to be cause fatal injury. He only cut a bit, only dug one tefach. He didn't do the whole 9 tefachim, nonetheless. He's now, because he turned this into a hazardous thing, even though he dug one tefachim, that's now can cause a fatal injury. We'll say well, that is now he's chayv the whole lot. Okay, also chayv a mammon as well, by the way. Sorry, there's a discussion actually, the machloket here. It's Acharon Chayv, because Parafulda says he's Chayv even Benezek. Fine. Rebbe Omer says, Acharon Chayv Lamita, he enabled the full hazardous thing that's a fatal thing. However, the Acharon, the first person is still Chayv Benezikin, because he enabled the Nezikim to 9 tefachim. Amar Yitzchak, no, you have to read that differently. Kenamit Acharon Lamita, the Achar Shnehem Lenezikin. Meaning, the first person dug up to nine, he'd be Chayv also for Nezikin, and the person add extra tefach chayev any for any fatal consequences, but he'd also chayev, he'd share the responsibility for any other sort of monetary or physical and damage as opposed to actual killing. Okay, fatal injury. Now, Gemara says, chafo ba'asarat tefachim, let's say someone dug for 10 tefachim. Ubacher, and somebody else came along with sayado, he plastered it, he already drew pictures inside of it, and something like that, he has a little graffiti art. Shneim chayevim, they're both chayev. The Gemara asks, what are you talking about? I understand the first one is Chayv dug 10 tefachim deep. The fact he drew pictures inside it and he plastered it is getting. What possible contribution did he give to make it any more hazardous? Unless he said, like, you know, he made one of those 3D things that makes it look like it's a flat surface or something like that. No, what's going on? So the Gemara says, what's that got to do with it? In other words, sometimes what you can have is let's say someone wants to sell his house. You need to do some sort of kinyan on it. One of the kinyanim can be like a chazaka. So if he says to someone, okay, you can corner this house by way of now plaster the walls, and that will be a maisa kinyan to chazaka. So we see if in a zikin, you can also have a maisa kinyan that can also make him share responsibility. So in other words, if the person dug a 10 deep and he effectively said to this other person, okay, Sayado, and with that you will share the responsibility with me and the boar through that maaseh. It's like a kinyan to share responsibility. That's why Rav Fulda explains it. I simply explained it outside. As we said, it's as follows: the Gemara says, "Da'amar Rav Ami b'shem Rav Elazar shmirat nezakev k'shmirat kinyan." Exactly. In other words, I can bear responsibility in the same way. However, Rav Simon Tiftar says b'chofer cholot. He says I can explain it differently. We're not talking about someone who says, "Okay, paint it and then we'll be able to share responsibility." No. It could simply be talking about where he dug it in a very sandy area, the first person. Now, at the moment, it's hazardous, being 10 tefachim deep, but it's not going to be hazardous for very long. So when the other person comes and say a door and cement it, they basically put like a concrete wall around it. Now it's going to last a lot much longer. So therefore, they're both equally contributing, if you like, to this bore, the hazard. Okay, fine. So he actually did, in other words, he did a significant maaser as a result of plastering their walls. Now, the Gemara says, Tani, chafar ze asara veze asara, ze esrim veze esrim, ze mea kulam chayavim. Meaning if someone dug 10 and someone else dug 10, right, then they're both chayav, they both take shared responsibility, right, because there's equal, what their the significance, what that is equal. Okay, next, the kama shiur run. What is the shear of a boar that one might be chayav for? So Gemara says, la mit, to kill, we said that to be 10 tefachim deep. Fine. This is the first. In Ulazik, even for any damage, it could even be a kol shor, just a small little divot in the ground, that could be enough to be chayev. Okay? Fine. The Gemara says, I'll do this a little bit more. I'll just read the commentary. It says, kol shor shu chayev, in other words, kol shor is chayev nefila. Lafuke lemita, you need 10. Mashmash afilu met alidit tisha patur. Because in other words, if it was only nine and something, an animal fell into it and died, you'd be patur for the fact it died. Because kim le rabbanan asra lemita avde velo tisha. Again, because the shear is for to be like considered fatal is 10. Okay, sumchus amar le omko, the depth has to be 3, or le orko v'rochbo be 4, 4x4. That's the second opinion. And Rabbi Elazar Kafra says no, afilu kumalo shel nofel. Even the length of the one who falls into it. So what's that mean? Mao meloshel nofel. So here the Gemara says, "Afilu tarnagol, afilu gamal." Now there's two ways to understand "afilu gamal, tarnagol, afilu gamal." According to the Marfil, these things very simply really depends on the animal that's fallen into it. If it's a large animal, it might need a bigger depth, bigger length, bigger width in order to cause damage. And if it's a smaller animal, then it will be even a smaller amount would be the amount. So in other words, it depends on the bore. It will be relative to the animal that was injured by it. Okay. It says, Kolomar kol chadlafim. That's the way the Marafold explains it. Just for contrast, I'll show you the Pnei Moshe. He says differently. He says, no. Afilu tanagol, afilu gamal. It says, Kolomar hakol echad. They're all the same, he says. Im yesh bo kedei lazik bal chaya katan, as long as it's hazardous for one animal, kamo tarnagol, chayv gamal, as a gamal, even for a large animal. Umlo'o shel nofer de ka'amar, im yesh bo milo'o shel eizen ofel, didifamim, af gamal yachol lizok bo. Because sometimes even a gamal can be injured, even by the small holes. You know, they're very, very different pshat here. But anyway, Pesetter, those are the two complete opposite explanations of what the last line of the Gemara means. Pesetter, we'll take it from the Nechazim Shein by Mila next year.
I'm very surprised that you consider Aish to be like a chet.
Yeah, in terms of it's that's the discussion. I mean, I'll just show you here. The Ribbaz actually says, because on that sugya, when he gets to Rabbi Yirmiyah, he says that Rabbi Yirmiyah says Lechashin is called Habe. He says Hesh. He says no. He argues in the beginning. He says that Esh is actually Mamono Gamken, also Chay Mishum Mamono. Okay, like any other thing, like one's property. Ken Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah stumbled on Bereshit Lazi Inyan Kaman. It's not clear what he meant by it, and now the rest of the Gemara is trying to work out what he means by it. That's the flow of the Gemara, and the conclusion is very similar. I think, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, it's Machlokin because Esh is a funny one. Meaning, it's kind of has it moves has a life of its own, but it's only triggered by you. It's it, like how you define that. But that's a machloket in terms of how do you answer eshem chitzu or eshem mishum u'mono. I'm not sure if I can add much to more. Okay, so
Go ahead.
well done.